Welcome to our Wednesday Rewind. This is an interactive revisit to last Sunday's message from Believer City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. Each week, we gather at this time to take the Sunday message, previous Sunday message, and then we move it out of that monologue and into a community dialogue with small groups meeting throughout the Dunn County region and beyond. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the lead pastor here at Believer City Church. And if you are local, you are no doubt listening live to 101.7 FM, street level radio. And if you're further away, you're probably watching us on TV or even the web. But no matter how you got here, we are glad you are here. We're in Hebrews chapter 12 this week, beginning in verse 12, part 2 this week of a message that is entitled Winning. Let's get into it. This is going to require for each and every one of us a public walk. That the faith that Hebrews is calling us to is not something that is private, not something that is closeted, but something that is lived out in the world in which we live each and every day. I think we want to believe that if we're good boys and girls, that everything's going to come up roses for us. And I think the world often portrays religion in that light, if you will. So we come to Christ or we come to church, and maybe you're here today believing that there is this righteous yin-yang thing going on. The more good stuff I do, the more good stuff's going to happen to me. And if I do bad stuff, then bad stuff's going to happen to me. And listen, one of the realities of adulthood, especially spiritual adulthood, is that when you discover that that realm does not exist. That's a pipe dream. That's a Peter Pan world. Just because you're able to walk away from God's correction in what appears to be one piece, maybe, one surprise epiphany that usually comes on down the road is when we find ourselves in the full-blown manifestation of a crashing life. Now, you've been there, haven't you? When you managed to make it through, you've stumbled, you've sinned, you've dropped the ball, and you made it. No lightning strikes, no earthquakes, no wrath of God. And you think God's okay with that. So often we want to handle our pain like a child with a boo-boo. You with me? You know the scene. Those of you with kids, I'm sure that you've experienced this. A child trips and falls down and you think the kid lost a leg. Now, I bring this up because I want you to notice what God is not saying in this passage as well as what He is saying. And He is saying in this passage we're reading today so much about how we are to deal, despite the culture of today and the social paradigm that is being dished out by the world today, this is how we are to deal with the issues of discipline and correction and hard times. Somehow we've gotten the idea in 2025 and really in the years leading up to where we are today, where we've gotten the idea that we aren't ever to feel bad or ever to be depressed at any moment in our lives. And the scripture in this passage addresses the fact that we now stand with, how I would put it, within the realm of the cross. We therefore stand inside the circle of that power, if you will, that is emanating from the gospel. God has given us the power to change. You're not a puppet. You're not saved to be a puppet. God wants a relationship with you. Therefore, you strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and you make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Well, let me ask you, does that sound like a call here for you to do something? over these pages of Hebrews and our study week by week of it, we have illuminated a number of aspects of our faith that are often swept under the rug, if not overtly disregarded. For example, we often want to believe that we are on an island on some level, that we don't need, nor is it even required, to have a horizontal dynamic in our living. We tend to want to just embrace the Jesus and me stance. And I mean just Jesus and me. Now, of course, this is more than ridiculous because Christian life cannot be lived out in a vacuum. It's impossible. And our attempts merely reflect an unredeemed state in a man or woman that is lost in their pride. The pride of the old man and the pride of the old life. The truth of the matter is that public transparency and relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ is not only a biblical directive, but it's also a truly mandatory aspect in order to stay in the race. To exercise, if you will, the servanthood required throughout all of Scripture. Now, on Sunday, I spoke of how the culture around us has, on so many levels, corrupted the very fabric of Christianity by altering, not rejecting, but altering what the Scripture says in order to acquiesce to a fickle and, frankly, worldly public. One of those aspects is the idea that God, heaven, righteous life, all of that operates on what I call the scale model, wherein if I do, now it's in my opinion, mind you, if I do good stuff and more good stuff than bad stuff, then the scale will tip in my favor and I'll gain what one would cynically call sin credits. As long as I can stay more in the good column, then I'm okay with the sovereign God. If I'm a pretty good boy, then life will be wonderful and I will have good things happen to me. So naturally, we are more than a little surprised when a crisis comes along, when a difficulty comes along, a hardship comes along, and we are stopped in our tracks in what is often an incredulous recoil, wherein we are left wondering, what is going on? I mean, I'm a pretty good guy. I do good things. How could this happen to me? How could God let this happen? How could my church do this to me? How could my wife or my husband not support me in this time of crisis? And then comes that inevitable knee-jerk, what the Bible calls the root of bitterness. Meaning now I'm angry. And I become lost in myself and I'm lost in my crazy emotional logic. I mean, we have heard about this whole wrath of God thing, this whole wrath of God stuff, but for us, it's always been out there someplace. Meaning in other countries and, you know, with clearly wicked people. Not like me. That stuff like earthquakes and floods and tornadoes. But suddenly we find ourselves now on the front and center and we don't know how in the world that we got here. We feel like there's been a misrepresentation. We feel like, you know, that maybe there's been some sort of bait and switch. And you know what? Maybe, just maybe that's true, but not in the way that we think. Because the fact is, somewhere along the way, via misleading teaching that we've received, or maybe even our own wishful thinking and subsequent blindness on this matter, we have got the idea that bad stuff, yes, difficult stuff, won't happen to me, you know, if I'm a good boy. But the fact is, you are not and never will be a good boy. Not in the terms that you are thinking anyway. Many of us have spent a lifetime attempting a constant renegotiation with God. We're always trying to broker a new arrangement, a new standard, maybe a delay in payment, you know, a special deal. We're willing to put some good stuff indeed on one side of the scale, but we're also looking for a break because it's just so hard to make that whole yin-yang balance. When the correction and the discipline come down the pike, we tend to scream like a little girl. Not just in this discomfort of it all, but even in the surprise, the audacity of God and, yes, our church in his dealing with us in such a humiliating manner. How dare he? How dare they? Now, our text on Sunday, verses 12 and 13, is where we began of chapter 12 of Hebrews. It began this way, and I read in the New Living. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but become strong. Now, I think the new Living Testament, I think you'd go like this. Hey, gang, time to get a grip. Time to man up. Time to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You need to start walking now. You need to start moving forward, but to do so this time in a straight and narrow and watching where you are walking. Now, that premise, one found regularly throughout all of Scripture, is frankly often despised and rejected by many. Many who still claim Christ. Now, I only know one Christ, and that's the Christ of Scripture. So if they're rejecting Scripture, I really have no idea at all who they are claiming to know. For sure, the authentic Jesus is not now, nor has he ever, been open to negotiating what the terms of Christianity are. More than once, I have talked with people who, on their way out the door, said they needed something easier than biblical Christianity. They wanted something less combat-oriented. You know, a nice Jesus and a peaceful world engagement. Good luck with that, because it doesn't exist. You're searching for Bigfoot there. And it's just a rumor that it is actually out there. Look, I want to tell you this fact today. Our God does indeed correct and discipline, and he even punishes behavior that's not in line with his Holy Spirit-filled dynamic. But gang, don't ever get the idea that he's in any way cruel or mean, because that could not be further from the truth. Look, our God is a good daddy. Abba, Father, and a good daddy will at times discipline his rebellious children. Now verses 6 through 8 say this, "For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is not disciplined by his father?" If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. But the truth is, we don't think that that should occur at all. So thus we reject it out of hand. And frankly, we often run away. We run for our lives. We cling to really what is a comic book model wherein we should experience no pain and no discomfort and no verbal correction. And we should, we think anyway, be constantly, all along the process, be given lollipops because, well, we are so swell. Look, the fact remains that we're called to grow up. To grow up. You know what? And maturity, both physical and mental in this life, as well as spiritual and emotional in Christ, we are called to grow up. And factually, that's going to require an occasional Band-Aid. Hey, you know what? It might even require some crutches at some point. But, gang, you're never going to grow up if you live in a bubble. There has to be some effort exerted, some engagement on our part in order to ever come to know that practical sanctification, to ever experience a practical loving holiness. And we are repeatedly called throughout Scripture to do, to be, to walk, to run. Things like to give, to stand, to put away, to strive after, etc., etc. And all of that is calling you to do something. And no one finds that stuff on the couch with a clicker in one hand and a can of beer in the other. But listen, before you go, you need to know this. Along the way, it's okay to have a crappy day. It's a fallen world, so it's okay to feel low occasionally. To get a boo-boo once in a while. It's what, you know, makes us strong. Strong for the storms up ahead.